we're taking a small detour from our Acts series today. And in honor, honor of Labor Day, I'm going to be teaching today on our labor of love. So you can take your Bibles tonight or today, and you can go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. So we're going to be kind of looking at what God's Word has to say about our work, about our labor. And so we all work at different professions, different jobs to make a living, but as believers, we all have the same spiritual instruction for our walk with God. We all have the same instruction manual, our Bibles, that tells us what our jobs as Christians are. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." So the conclusion of everything that was talked about in this book. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole," and the word duty there is in italics, so this is the whole of man. The best way to sum up the whole of mankind is to reverence God and to do His word. To reverence God and to do His word. And the word fear there is the word revere. To hold in highest esteem. To hold in a great respect. Okay? So when it says that we're supposed to fear God, it's to hold Him in high esteem or in great respect. God should be the most important thing in our lives. And to keep His commandments is to do His word. To keep His commandments is to do His word. So the whole of man is to respect God, to hold Him in highest esteem, and then to keep His commandments, to do His word. But that's very broad, right? To keep His commandments, well, this whole entire book is God's word. It's a very broad thing. But that's the thing about foundations, right? A foundation is a very broad thing. If you were to build a house, if you were to take this whole house and build it on a 2-foot by 2-foot foundation, it would fall over. There'd be way too much house on way too tiny of a foundation. So your foundation needs to be broad. It needs to be able to support everything, right? In order for it to stand up, in order for it to be stable. So the foundation is to keep His commandments, to do His word. Everything else we can build upon that. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. So our foundation for this teaching is that we're to respect God. He's the most important thing. And that we're to keep His commandments. We're to do His word. Genesis 2, 15 says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to chill out and get a tan. To sit bruise and take it easy." He put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. The words dress it and to keep it mean to work it and to take care of it. God created man. He created the Garden of Eden for man to be in. And man's purpose, or one of the things he was to do while he was in that garden, was to dress it and to keep it, to work it, and to take care of it. God did not form, make, and create man to sit around and chill. From the very beginning, God created man to work. He designed man to work, even before the fall. Even before the fall. Work is not some byproduct of sin. Okay? We don't have to work because man screwed up. We have to work because God designed it that way. God gave us Holy Spirit for a very important reason, so that we could have access and a connection with Him. And that includes during our work. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. So God, when he created man, he intended him all along, from the very beginning, to work, to have a purpose. Man is happiest when he's accomplishing things, when he's working towards something, when he has a goal, because that's the way God designed us to be. He didn't design us to just chillax. He designed us to work towards things. But he also gave us Holy Spirit. He designed man with body, soul, and spirit from the beginning so that we would have a connection with him while we did these things. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. The Corinthians felt we're in a situation where they were respecting one man over another, in this case, Paul versus Apollos. But Paul says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's God who provides the growth. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The person who's doing the planting isn't to be held up in this high regard. The person who's doing the watering isn't to be held up in this high regard. It's God who gives the increase. We all work towards something. We are all unified in a purpose, but it's still God who deserves our respect and our reverence. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And that one means that they are united in their endeavors, that they're working toward the same goal. The person who's maybe doing this bit of work and the person may be doing this bit of work, but they're united in their efforts and their goals. They're both doing the will of God. They're serving their function in the body. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They're united. And every man shall receive his own reward according to some awesome socialistic plan that divides everything up evenly to everybody. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. God will honor the work that you put in, and it's according to the work that you put in. God is fair. God is just. And so our reward is according to our labor. It's according to what we put in. If we put in the time and the effort, we're going to get results. And if we don't, well, then we can't expect to receive those results because we're not putting in the effort. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together for God.
No,
it doesn't say that. We are laborers together with God. With God. We're laborers together with each other. But even more importantly is that it's with God. It's not for God. For God would be great. For God would be awesome. Because if you're going to work for somebody, it should be God. And it tells us in other places in the Bible, we'll see later, that we're to work heartily unto the Lord. But right here it tells us that we are laborers together with God, that we are God's husbandry, you are God's building. So I asked Hannah to help me with an example of this. So if I, in this situation, I am God. So let's say I'm God and Hannah is Hannah, and God tells Hannah, Hannah, I need you to move that box. So this would be working for God. Hannah's got to move the box for me. It's really hard to lift that box. Now, let's say what Corinthians says, and it says that we work with God. So then when we work with God, we can do the work. And we can get results. We can move this box over here because we're working with God. We're not just working for God. Thank you very much. We're not just working for God by ourselves in a solo effort, but we're able to accomplish a lot because we work with God. God does give us instruction in His Word. He does tell us the things that we're supposed to do, but it's always working alongside Him. God wants to be there with us as we do these things. We don't have to do it ourselves. So we have the opportunity to labor with God, which makes it so much easier. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. So that's our foundation. That's our foundation. That God intended man to work, not to just sit around. And that includes jobs, but it also includes our spiritual work, our place in the body, the things that we're supposed to do for the body of Christ. And God wants us to do all those things with Him. With Him. Proverbs 12, verse 11. We're going to look at just a couple verses in Proverbs that have to do with work. So that we see to God that it is important. Proverbs 12, verse 11, it says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain," and the word persons there is omitted, but the word vain is vain pursuits or fantasies. "He that followeth vain pursuits is void of understanding," completely lacking understanding. So when it comes to work, the person who puts in the work, in this case tilling the land is the example, we're going to be satisfied. We're going to get results. We're going to get what we want sought out to accomplish. But the person who's just aimlessly following vain pursuits, doing whatever they want, they're going to be lacking. Go to 13 verse 4. 13 verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard," the lazy person, "desires and has nothing." A sluggard's appetite is never filled. Is never filled. They're constantly desiring, but they have nothing. "But the soul of the diligent shall be made" what? Fat. When we put in the work, when we're diligent to do things, that's when we get the results. Then we will be made fat. We won't have lack. Chapter 12, verse 24. "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." And what it's saying is that the hand, the person who works hard, is going to have rule. They're going to have their own direction. They're going to have goals in life. "The slothful shall be under tribute." And the words "under tribute" there mean in subjection or enslaved. So the people who don't do work, who are lazy about whether it's their professional work or anything else, those are the people who are always lacking something. Those are the people who are always longing after something, who always have need in their life. And that can be enslaving, and it can be imprisoning, because then all you can think about is those areas of lack in your life. And that's what ends up ruling you. That's what ends up taking over, because you're like, "Oh, I don't have this," or "I don't have this," or "this isn't satisfied," or "I'm always angry," or whatever it is. It just represents a need and a lack in your life. But that person who is diligent is going to have rule over all of that. He's going to be in control. He's going to have direction. Chapter 14, verse 23. It says, "In all labor there is profit. In all hard work there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." And that word penury is the word poverty. So hard work, diligence, brings results, while merely talking about it, providing lip service, not actually following through, leads to poverty. So Obviously, the Word of God wants us to put in the effort, wants us to put in the hard work. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Because the alternatives are all bad. None of those things are good. So when we work hard, it's really good. And when we don't, it's not so good. It's pretty simple. Colossians 3:23. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it with your whole heart, as to who?
The Lord.
And not unto men." So we're to give whatever it is. Whatever it is we do, we give 110% and we do it for God. Not for men, not for anybody else. We do it for God. As long as we're working hard for God, then we'll get things done. Philippians 4:13. Very familiar verse. But it's God's promise. I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengthens me. So remember that we're fellow laborers together with God. And it's a promise in God's word that we will be strengthened to do it. We have Christ in us, and therefore we have the strength that we need to do it. I can do all things according to God's word through Christ who strengthens me. We don't have to do it by ourselves. So we can commit our endeavors to God, and then He will provide the strength to do it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." And that word vocation is the word for calling, purpose, our job, if you will. "I therefore," and the therefore implies why for? Why? Because of all the things that Paul listed out in the first three chapters of Ephesians, all the stuff that he listed out in the first three chapters is the mystery, our salvation, our place in the body, Christ in us. Because of all of these things, because of what God made available to us, therefore we should walk worthy of all of that, worthy of the calling, worthy of what God has made us to be in Christ. And we're to do it, verse 2 says, "with all lowliness and meekness," all humility and meekness, "with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And that's how we're supposed to do it. And what is that calling? That calling is laid out in the rest of Ephesians. We're to promote unity within the body. We're to operate gift ministries if we have one. We're to serve and to minister in the body according to our place. It gives the duties of wives and of husbands and of children, of leaders and of followers. It says that we're to hold forth the word and to be ambassadors for Christ. And it tells us that we're to be fervent in prayer. This is the vocation, the calling that we've been called to. And we're to walk worthy of it. So the work that we do, the work that we put in, is to accomplish those things. To serve and to minister in the body. To be the best wives and the best husband and the best children we can be. To be the best leaders we can be in the areas where we lead, and to be the best followers we can be in the areas where we need to follow. And to always hold forth that word of God, to be an ambassador for Christ as we put on the whole armor of God so that we can achieve those things. Because when you start to do all that work, the adversary is going to want to stop you. and he's going to want to try to redirect your efforts. And it says in chapter 6 that we can put on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand all of that stuff, so that we can continue to walk according to the way that God wants us to walk. Right? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. So just like we would want to give our 110% and give it our all in our daily jobs and our professions, we should want to do that in the body of Christ, to walk worthy of the vocation of the calling that we've been called with. And labor in the Word of God is hard work. It's what that word means when you see it. It's not just like, you know, simple task. God knows it's difficult sometimes. But God also promises that he'll work with you and that he'll strengthen you. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. And the words faith and love and hope in there occur with a Greek article meaning the right way or the correct way, which sets them apart from all other ways, all other kinds. So all three of those words in the Greek are preceded by the article, which means the right way. So it says, remembering without ceasing your right way, or your work of the right way of believing, your labor of the right way of loving, and patience of the right or correct hope. Our work, our labor requires the right way of believing and the right way of loving, the correct manner of loving, and is energized by the correct or the right hope, that of Christ's return. That of Christ's return. So our work and our labor involves the right way of believing and the right way of loving. And we know how to believe and how to love because God tells us how to in his word. And that work, that labor is energized by the correct hope, the hope that we have of Christ's return. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And the words labor of there are omitted in all critical Greek texts. So it should better read that he's not unrighteous to forget your work and love. Your work and your love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget that. He sees the time and the effort that you put in and the love that you give to the body of believers. He is not unrighteous to forget. Because people are people. We're all wonderfully made, but we're all kind of not perfect. And sometimes when you give and you put in a lot of effort, it's not met with very many thanks. It doesn't make you feel good the way that people might react after you've put in all that time and effort. But God is not unrighteous to forget the work that you do, the love that you do it with. God sees it in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. it would be great that if every time we did something for somebody, they were super thankful and it was really appreciative and awesome, but that's not reality. But we don't stop doing it. Who do we work heartily toward? God. Not unto men. You'll be disappointed forever. You will be. If you work for the recognition of men and the thanks of men. If you do it because God wants you to do it, you're going to be blessed. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope to the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So the desire is that you show that same diligence to Christ's return. To Christ's return. And that you be not slothful, that you don't give up, but followers of them who through faith, through the right way of believing, and patience, because it takes patience, inherit the promises. And then Hebrews goes in to talk about some of those people who God made promises to, and who believed and waited a long time to see those promises come to pass. But it encourages us not to give up, because sometimes it is hard work. Finally, go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. But when we do that work, we can remember that God is with us. And when we put in the time and the effort, the one thing that we have to encourage us is the hope of Christ's return. It said so in Thessalonians, it said so in Hebrews. We have the hope of Christ's return. Because things don't always go right. But we have the hope. Verse 51, 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us the victory. Therefore, because of all this, because of the hope that we have of Christ's return, because of the victory that God has given us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, your effort, your hard work is not in vain in the Lord. Because of this hope that we have, we can be steadfast. We can be unmovable. We can continue to put in that work, even though sometimes it's difficult and thankless. We can always abound in the work of the Lord because we know that it's not in vain. It's not for nothing. God appreciates it. God loves it. God wants you to do it. He'll give you the strength to do it. He'll work with you. All of those things. And we can remember the hope that we have to encourage us and to get us through. So that's just a little something about labor of love, the work that we do for God and with God.